Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles, Day 4, 2009. This is the Kingdom of God in the Gospels, number 3. Now let's pick up where we left off here in Matthew, but let's this time go forward a little bit to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Because it tells us some very important things that we need to understand, because when we read the closing remarks of Jesus, we are to teach all nations everything that he commanded them. And we have it all right here in the Gospels. And so the Gospels are fundamental, because that brings us from the Old Testament to the Gospels. And the Gospels then, as we already covered, is the central part of the Bible in its original order. There are four divisions, there are seven divisions, with the Gospels being the fourth. So that means there are three divisions before and three divisions after the Gospels and Acts. And the words of Jesus Christ are to be taught. That's what the apostles did, and God inspired them to expand beyond that. But let's begin right here in chapter 7, and let's pick it up here in verse 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Now here we have an entirely different situation compared to the Old Testament, with the temple and everybody having to come to Jerusalem. Now we are able to have access to God the Father and Jesus Christ in heaven above. And so in our lives, in growing and overcoming, and the things that we need and the things that God wants us to have, he wants us to pray to him, and he wants us to seek him, and he wants us to also seek that which is right. So here in verse 7 he says, Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it shall be opened. And today there is a great hungering and thirsting for the Word of God, because the most asked question on the Google search is, God, are you there? And do you know I exist? 2 million hits a day. Well, we're going to do something about that. But this is what Jesus is saying here. If you want to know about God, you seek him, but you seek him his way. And you seek him with repentance. And you seek him through the Word of God, which is the truth of God. So he goes on showing how much God cares for us and loves us by continuing with this little parable. Or what man is there of you who, if your son shall ask for bread, will give him a stone? Of course not. You'll give him food. You'll give him something to eat. And if he asks for a fish, will you give him a scorpion? No, of course not. Now notice what he says about human nature. And because the biggest problem and difficulty in understanding the Bible, in understanding true Christianity, in understanding about overcoming and changing and growing, is the perception of self. And the perception of self is, we're good people. Well, we may have a little sin here and there, but I'm honest. Well, I may lie a little here or there. People do not understand that the Bible shows that the human mind is deceitful above all things, and it is an enemy of God. Enmity toward God, not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So this is why Jesus says here in verse 11, therefore, if you being evil, now who was he talking to? His disciples. And by that time, there were other people found where they were and came up and were listening. So he called his disciples evil. Think on that for just a minute. So if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Yes, God will give it. He will give it for our good, for our benefit. He's not going to do like Satan does, heap it all upon you all at once, and you become spoiled and selfish and narcissistic, and you have no care for anyone else. That's the way the world is. Now notice the summary of it here. Therefore, everything that you would have men do to you, so do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So you see, it all goes back to the law. Now Jesus is saying it's rooted in the law and the prophets, and now it goes beyond that. Now it goes beyond to what is in your mind and what is in your heart. And if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, it's not going to be just an easy matter that you unzipper your heart and say, Lord, come into my heart. No, because verse 13 tells us this. Enter in through the narrow gate. Not a lot of fudge factor, not a lot of wiggle room, right? For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. And that's the way of the world. See, we are to come out of this world spiritually. That's all the teachings what Jesus is giving here, you see. Now, he makes it abundantly clear by describing it even a little bit more. He says, for narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life. Now, not just physical life, eternal life. Because you have to answer the call of God. You have to repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God. So few be there that find it. Now, we'll see this in just a minute. Through the parable of the sower. Few find it. For narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Now, here's a very interesting thing that follows right along with that. Why does he give the warning in verse 15 here? He says, but beware of false prophets. Why? Because false prophets are going to come and try and show you an easy way to eternal life, which is not of God. Satan is always there, right, Johnny on the spot, to say, you can figure this out better than God. And that goes clear back to Adam and Eve, doesn't it? Who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like the real thing. For within they are ravening wolves. Now they may not appear that way to you, because they are going to offer an easy way, a broad way. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and everything will be all right. All you need to do is repeat this prayer and let Jesus in your heart. Nothing about repentance, nothing about baptism. Let's put it this way. Very little about repentance. Nothing about baptism. And then you're saved. And once you're saved, everything is fine. Where's the difficulty then? No, the false prophets come. And there more lies come from the pulpit, as I've said many times, than any other place. You shall know them by their fruits. They do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. So if you have a corrupted gospel, how can it produce the fruit of God? If you never received the Holy Spirit of God, how can you produce the fruits of the Spirit? You cannot do it, you see. So this is what he's telling us here. And he says, every tree not producing good fruit is going to be cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you shall assuredly know them by their fruits. Now this means this. When we are trying to judge something, we judge it by the fruits. What is said, what is done, what is the result? Does it conform with the teachings of Jesus? Does it conform with the teachings of the Bible? If it doesn't, stay away. Because Jesus said, there are going to be many, many come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many wonderful works or many works of power in your name? God, you got to recognize me. I did this for you, Jesus. But Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Because it gets right back to where we started. Don't think I've come to abolish the law. Anyone who thinks that is a lawless person. Now notice how important all the teachings of Jesus are, especially to eternal life. There's a correct way, there's a right way, which is the straight and narrow way, and few there are that find that. There's the broad way, there's the easy way. And you know, look at all the debt problems we have today. Speak of the easy way. When the money was rolling and the credit was there, and people had money just coming out of their ears, their homes were rising in value, and they were borrowing more and more and more, and had 3, 4, 5, 6, I've heard of people having as many as 20 credit cards. And you go out and you buy this and you buy that and you buy the other and you borrow against your house and you live high in the hog. It's easy, and it's the hog too. And it's the easy way to go. See? Now, where are they today? We'll read it. Economic rains came and the floods came and the wind blew. And they lost their homes and they lost their boats and they lost their cars and they lost their credit cards. So you see, the broad, easy way leads to destruction. Now here's what Jesus said. Now this applies spiritually and the principle to anything that you do. Verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them. Now that's why it's important that you know what Jesus has taught. That's why after the feast, I would like you to study through all four of the Gospels and understand the words of Christ. Ask yourself this question. Do I practice the words of Christ? And remember, he also told those false prophets, see, only those who are going to practice the will of the Father in heaven. And everything that Jesus taught is the will of the Father because he did not say anything that wasn't from God. So practicing them means we live them as a way of life. Now he says, if you do, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, but it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. And that rock is Christ. And this is what we really need to know and understand, see. And I think sometimes we get so carried away with doctrines in the New Testament, the teachings of the Apostle Paul, the controversies between law and grace and all of that sort of thing, that we forget the words of Christ. And we forget that the words of Christ are those that bring us the understanding of how we attain to the kingdom of God. Now notice, he's talking in a broad principle here. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came down, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So after he said that, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these words, the multitude were amazed at his teachings, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. So you see, this is very important for us to understand. The words of Christ lay the foundation as to how we get into the kingdom of God. And it's not going to be. It is not going to be as the world thinks or as a lot of people who are religious think. Now, let's see another aspect of what Jesus taught. Let's come here to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. And let's pick it up here, beginning in verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to babes. Because you see, the wise and intelligent are not willing to submit to the words of Christ, and they don't realize that these are greater than all of their thoughts and greater than all of their philosophies and greater than their theories and their hypotheses and whatever that they come up with, because they are so wise. And Jesus said, yes, Father, for it was pleasing in your sight to do this. Now here's quite a statement. Verse 27. All things were delivered to me by my Father. That's why it says in Hebrews, the first chapter, that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. See? All things were delivered to him by the Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. That is true. No one truly knows Jesus as the Father knows Jesus. Neither does anyone know the Father except the Son and the One. Now let's understand something here. And the One to whom the Son personally chooses to reveal him. So the miracle of everything is this. We understand what we understand because God has made it possible. We have access to the Father because Christ has brought us to the understanding of it. And God himself and Christ have led us to repentance. And now they have built a relationship with us. And this relationship will be going through the straight and the narrow way unto eternal life. So this is why he says here, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are overly burdened, and I will give you rest, because you become mentally sound, emotionally stable, and physically well. He gives you rest from the pulls and the works of the flesh. He gives you rest from the consequences of sin. And he gives you peace of mind of knowing his way, that God loves you, God has called you, God is for you, God desires you. So that's why he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's why we're going through the Gospels during the Feast of Tabernacles, because this is going to help show us and lead us in the way that we need to know and to learn from Christ. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because it's free from sin. Isn't that quite something? Yes, indeed. Now let's understand another thing that comes along with this. Let's come here to Matthew 13, just another page over. Not like the world. Remember, as Jesus said, the world cannot receive these things, but we can. So here's the parable of the sower. And this is what happens. Everywhere there's a Bible, the word has been sown. Everywhere people want to know about Christ, some seed has been sown. When the truth goes out, when the gospel goes out, when the understanding of these things go out, it affects different people in different ways. And so we have the parable of the sower. Now let's pick up the explanation of it here in verse 19. The sower is Christ. The seed is the word of God. And here is the parable of the sower, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that's what we're talking about. And today we can say, Christ is going to return from heaven, shake the heavens, shake the earth, shake the land, the sea, and everything that there is, and everyone's going to know that he is returning. You're a terrorist. You're against the government. As a matter of fact, did you know that we're on the terrorist list because we believe the Bible? Because we believe in the return of Christ? Because we believe he's going to replace all governments? Because we believe that all the governments of this world are rooted in Satan the devil? But there's one thing that we do not advocate, which is this. We do not advocate violence or to take up arms to bring about the kingdom of God, because Christ will do it himself. Then when we're resurrected, we will help him. But notice, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes. So Satan is right there, right on the spot, Johnny on the spot, just like it was with the last Passover of Jesus. Judas was there and Satan was there. Because remember, as soon as Jesus gave him the sop, Satan entered into Judas and he went and betrayed Jesus. So likewise, if anyone really hears the word of God, a trial is going to come from Satan the devil. All right? The wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sowed in his heart. This is the one who was sown by the way. Just a fleeting interest. Then when he finds out some of the things that are really required, oh man, I can't handle that. Verse 20. Now the one who was sown upon the rocky places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but because he has no root in himself, he does not endure. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, he is quickly offended and gone. Haven't we seen all these things take place? Yes. And the one who is sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word of God, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Oh, that church wants 10% of my money and more. Well, that's God's tithe. Oh, I can't work on Saturday anymore. Boy, how am I going to make money? Ah, man, what are my friends going to think of me? How am I going to make money with this? I got to sell my stocks in the casinos. I have to sell my stocks in the abortion clinics. No, chokes the word, becomes unfaithful. But verse 23, us. But the one who was sown on good ground, this is the one who hears the word and understands, who indeed brings forth fruit and produces. Why? Because you practice the word of God. You practice the will of the Father in heaven above. You practice the commandments and laws and everything that God tells us to do. Right? Yes. Who indeed brings forth? One 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. Which is very interesting because all grains have even numbers of rows of seeds. So that's quite something. So, let's come back here to verse 10. And let's read the blessing that is given to those who desire it. That is, those who love God, repent, have received the Holy Spirit of God, and are willing to want the teachings of Christ. And let's notice that these are the teachings of the kingdom of God, which the world cannot receive. Back here at verse 10. And his disciples came to him and asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now think what a responsibility that is. God has given it to you. Stop and think for a minute. How much do you know about the kingdom of God? How much do you know about the will of God? How much do you know about the plan of God? Well, if you pray and study and grow in grace and knowledge, you know a lot. And that's why we've written the books that we've written and published the Bible that we have published. Because this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, is a Bible designed specifically for people who have been bound up in worldly Christianity and want to know what is the way out. Because that's why we have the commentaries that we have in it. That's why we have the appendices that we have in it. And that's why they are there. And that's why you also need to read them. That's why it's part of the Bible. These things are necessary to help you understand the Bible, to know what the Bible is, when was it written, who wrote it, when was it canonized, how was it put together, Old Testament, New Testament. How come this is the only Bible ever published of all the billions and billions of Bibles in the world, and it's the only one in the original order and can be rightly called the original Bible restored? We have it there. What are the teachings that Jesus taught? What are the teachings of the New Testament church? They're all there. Plus, we've added Rome's challenge to the Protestants. Why were you born? What does born again mean? What about the Trinity? What about clean and unclean meats? All right in the Bible. This Bible is designed to be a one package. You have to apply yourself to it, though, to show you how to come out of the throes of pagan Christianity in the world. Now, coupled with this is the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which these two books, the Bible and that one book, now the other books all add to it, The Harmony of the Gospels, God's Plan for Mankind, the general epistles, Lord, what should I do, and all of those all add to it to show how people can return to God. That's the whole basis of it, you see. So it's been given to us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to them. The world won't know. We are to become more and more enlightened, and we are to become more and more knowledgeable, and we are to understand more and more of the Word of God, while the world dwells in darkness and is in the hands and power of Satan the devil. So there's going to be a greater and greater contrast between those who are true Christians and those who are not. Now notice what else Jesus said. That's why it's important that in the end time that we work, that we study, that we pray, that we apply ourselves, because so much has been given to us, and Jesus said, to whom much has been given, much will be required. Now verse 12, for whoever has understanding to him, more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. And that's what we want, brethren. But with that abundance, let's not become rich and increased with goods. Let's not become Laodicean in heart and mind and attitude, but always be urgent about the way of God, the Word of God, and what He has given to us. We will have an abundance. But whoever does not have understanding, even what he has shall be taken away from him. And let me just be frank, brethren, we have seen that happen with a lot of brethren. You look down through the time that you've been in the church, and you think about where did this one go, and where did that one go, and where did they go, and whatever happened to them. See, once you start leaving it, that which you have will be taken from you. For this reason, Jesus said, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they see not, and hearing, they do not hear. They don't pay attention. Neither do they understand, because they don't want to. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear, and in no way understand, and in seeing you shall see, and in no way perceive. For the heart of this people has grown fat, self-complacent in their own way and smug in their own understanding. And their ears are dull of hearing. Oh, that's hard preaching. Weren't you a little hard on that person? And their eyes, they have closed. Isn't that something? How many parts of the Bible have Christians in this world closed their eyes to? That's why they can't understand it. The Jews have closed their eyes to Christ. The Protestants have closed their eyes to the Old Testament. The Catholics have replaced everything with their own tradition, with a little sprinkling of the Bible mixed in, so they sound Christian. And take all the other religions of the world. See where they fit into the spectrum on this. Now here's quite a statement, because God is not calling the world. He has called us, and that's why we're here keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, which means that we have a greater responsibility laid upon us, because we know the things concerning the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We know the things concerning the mysteries of eternal life. And we know the secret of a relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ and us. And we know that the world has been deceived by Satan the devil. Think of all the things that you know and understand. Be thankful for them. Use the knowledge and truth that you understand in the Spirit of God that He has given you, you see. Now notice, lest they should see with their eyes. God is not going to call them at this time. And should hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now think about that. Jesus is saying directly, just like he did in Matthew 7, the majority of people will not hear. But we know, don't we? Yes, indeed. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Now the next verse becomes very important for us to realize, and it ought to be one of those things that give us a sense of awe and wonder and fear, that God has blessed us with this even beyond what the apostles were given. Do you know that we understand more about the return of Christ than Paul and Peter? Now, John gave the book of Revelation. He wrote it. God gave it to him. But we understand it, and John did not understand it, though he wrote it. So think about all that has been given to us. And this is why Satan likes to come along and take it away. Rip it out of our hearts. Rip it out of our minds. Get us all involved in things in the world. See? Notice what Jesus said. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men, we know more than all the prophets of old. So don't get lifted up. That's not because of us or because of you. That's because of Christ. That's because he gave the promise that in the time of the end, the wise shall understand. And other places say, because God will give us the understanding. That's why we need to hold on to it. Have desired to see what you see and have not seen. And to hear what you hear and have not heard. Then he went on to explain the parable. So think about what we've been given. Think about what God has given to us and what we are doing and how we are doing. And in keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and all the Feast of God, how important that those things are. And we need to realize that. So let's comprehend what Jesus said. Let's take this as a challenge and study through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John between now and Passover. And see how many things that you can study and learn concerning the kingdom of God and how you ought to live. Now let's continue on in the book of Luke, and we'll see some more things concerning entering into the kingdom of God. And also, Jesus identifies some who will be in the kingdom of God. And remember, the Gospels are the transition from all the prophecies in the Old Testament, which brings us to how they are all going to be fulfilled. He doesn't tell us how all of them are going to be fulfilled, but how some of them are, and it's the transition between the two. And then later, he inspired his apostles to write even more. Now let's pick it up in Luke 13 and verse 23. Someone said to him, Lord, are those who are being saved few? Now notice the way that Jesus answered questions sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't answer it directly, but he tells you the process on how to get there. So that he's not going to say, you're not coming in, but he is. And you're not coming in, but she is. He says, verse 24, strive with your whole being to enter in through the narrow gate. For many, I say, will seek to enter in, but shall not be able. Why? Because they don't have the garments, they haven't repented, they haven't built their lives on the word of Christ and everything, all of that together. Verse 25, once the master of the house is risen up and shut the door. So there's a time when salvation will not be available. And you begin to stand outside the door and knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Then shall he answer and say to you, I do not know you or where you are from. Then you shall begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I do not know you, or where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of unrighteousness. And so that shows that committing the unpardonable sin is going to lead to a lot of problems, right? Verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. Now, we can put this in terms of today's terminology. Well, didn't I attend the Feast of Tabernacles? Didn't I keep the Passover? Didn't I listen to your ministers? And he will say, but you never really believed. That's why important. Do we really, truly believe? Because there are going to be a lot who are going to be in the kingdom of God. Then they shall come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. That's at the resurrection. And behold, there are the last who shall be first and the first who shall be last. So that's quite a parable about the kingdom of God, isn't it? So it gives us an awful lot to think about. Our responsibilities that we have because we've been given the knowledge, the calling that God has given to us so we can understand these things, and how that it has to be God's way. No other way but God's way, because it's going to be the kingdom of God and not our kingdom.